Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you, live your life in the reality of His power, and be all His Word says you can be.
All right. Today is the first day of the month of October. It's our Independence Day as a nation. And in the midst of all the dark, the gloom, our hearts and our hope is in God. That song says, Christ is my anchor, is my rock, is my foundation. It's echoing. The wind came. The rain came. Everything blew upon me. But today I'm still standing. I'm standing here because He kept me. How many of you can say that God kept me? I'm telling you. Last month, we had 4 babies in this church. 4 babies. Uncle Joe, please help me with the sound. Should I use the other one? We had 4 babies in this church. 4. The mother is doing well. The baby is doing well. Only God can guarantee that. Only God. And the reason why you see us dancing like this, because some people say, what's all that? After all, what? You just sat down there as if you are the one that gave yourself brain. We are praising God here. You put your hand in your pocket. Like God said that, brother. You don't see any reason in your mind. What has He done? What has God done? You are thinking that what has He done? You are using the brain He gave to you to think that what has He done? He said, I can't see anything. Yet you have a eyes that He gave to you. You cannot see that you have eyes. You are using the eyes that He gave to you to see that He has not done anything. Come. In the midst of all that is going on, people can go out in the morning and not return that same day. I'm telling you. It's not because you look left, you look right before you cross. The Bible says, if not for God, the enemy would have swallowed us quick in their mouth. Going out alone and coming back home safe is a testimony. People have gone into the bedroom and did not come back out alive. Bedroom. People have entered bedroom and did not come out of that bedroom alive. The same bedroom you go into, you come out as though nothing happened. People have eaten food and the food went to the wrong place and they choked and they died. People have done that. People have slept and never woke up. But you slept. You slept. We have to even pour water on you. You slept soundly. Soundly. Sadly, since I lay on my bed and I woke up because God kept me. It was God that kept you. It was not because you are more righteous. More righteous people have died. People travel and have road accidents. I see it. In your wonder car, what happened? People have domestic accidents. Fire engulfed. While you are trying to cook, the gas cooker engulfed fire. And people can die. People can die. People have had their cars skid off the road. Round. Out of the road. People have entered cars with one chance. What was sending me a testimony this morning? He said, Pastor, please thank God for me. He said, I entered one chance. And I struggled with them, 5 of them. Till we entered the gutter. All of us. So I came out. Dan was sharing testimony with me. They were at Gudu. Immediately after our night prayers, 9 to 9:30. Came out. And guys came out of the bush. Harmed guys. And tried to stab them. And couldn't, the knife did not enter. And they had to dash back into the bush without taking a dime. That's God. That's God. The bomb that God gave to you used to sit down like that and you cannot say thank you, Jesus. Come on. Don't say thank you, Jesus. I know you don't have a job yet, but you are still eating. Only God knows what you are 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 eating. If you are thoughtful, you will be thankful. It is absence of thought that leads to ingratitude. Absence, you are not thoughtful. When we're having our baby, it was, you know, people that were at the naming ceremony, I was able to share a testimony. Pastor Fumi, come and share a testimony. I had a preaching engagement that night. My wife was supposed to deliver that night. We're already at the hospital. The heart rate of the baby had gone up. I said, madam, we have to deliver this baby now. Me, I had a preaching engagement. So I dashed off the hospital to go and pick my remaining kids from the school. And I was supposed to go to my office to prepare for my preaching engagement. And I asked the Lord, Lord, should I cancel this preaching engagement? So I can, because he says, don't worry, don't cancel the preaching engagement. Go and preach. This child is my own. I dashed back to the hospital. All I wanted to see was just the baby. I saw the baby. Not knowing that my wife was battling for her life. When they were going to bring out, the baby, there was no longer blood, no longer heartbeat. The doctors couldn't find the heartbeat. It was God. They brought out the baby. The baby was 0.9, low sugar. The normal level was 4. The baby was 0.9 and was looking normal. The doctors were aghast that this is not possible. You see, me, I was preaching and praying for other people. And God was sustaining my baby. The doctor said, if anything, is there a doctor in the house here who can help me with this? They said, if it is below 2.2, that baby should have a seizure. The baby should be having seizure. This baby was 0.9, smiling. That was God. And if you think well now, you will find many reasons to thank God. Stop doing as if God has not done anything for you. Just sit down there with your shoulder up like this and you don't even really have anything. Thank God! As we're dancing, I saw some people now. Now I'm standing, I'm seeing a lot of people. Some people stood there as if they were supervisors from heaven. Like God said, go and see them, whether they thank me enough. Say, well, that guy is trying over there. He's doing well. That should be acceptable before God. Oh, that other one, maybe she'll jump a little bit more. He's not jumping enough. You sat down there as if God has not done anything for you. If he should remove the one that he has done, nothing would remain. Nothing would remain. Bow down and say, thank you, Jesus. Sing and say, thank you, Jesus. All right, this is the first month. We're still going to praise God. I'm not going to preach a Methuselah message. It's an introductory service. You know how we do the first day of every month? Is to introduce you into what we're dealing with for the month. And this month is designed kingdom service and stewardship. Write it down. The month of October, kingdom service. We thank God for the miracles last month. We saw many people start relationship. Some people also broke their relationship. Amen. For the better. But this month we are focusing on kingdom service. Kingdom service. As we step into the last 3 months of this year, you must begin to mind the business of God more than ever before. And I want to charge you this morning to mind the work of God more than ever before. Focus on God. Focus on God these last 3 months and see how God will focus on you. I know that you have a lot of goals to reach. Focus on God. Put your attention on God and His business. Every child of God was saved to serve God. Every child of God was saved. There is no child of God that was saved to sit down. And some of you are in our church today and not offering any service. You are a consumer. Somebody cleaned the chair you are sitting on. Somebody switched on the AC you are enjoying. Somebody is working on the sound. But you cannot say, this is what I am doing in the house of God. Give me the book of Luke chapter 1. Help me do more. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to start from verse 70 to verse 75. Luke chapter 1, verse 70 to verse 75. Give it to
me. As he spake,
yes,
by the warm mouth of his holy prophets,
yes,
which have been since the world began,
yes,
that we should be saved from our enemies.
We should be saved from our enemies, yes.
And from the hand of all that hate us.
Yes.
To perform the mercy promised to our fathers,
yes, yes,
and to remember his holy covenant.
Yes.
The oath which he swore to our father Abraham,
yes,
that he will grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies.
We being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, yes,
might serve him without fear.
We are delivered out of the hands of our enemies, out of the hands of Satan, so that we can serve God. The reason for your deliverance is that you will serve. That we've been delivered out of the hands of our enemies may serve God without fear. Give me the last verse, verse 75.
In holiness and righteousness,
before
him,
yes,
all the days of our life.
When I found Jesus, I swore to him that, oh my Jesus, I will serve you all the days of my life. My father died when I was barely 15. My mother died when I was about 10 years old. I had lost both of my parents as a teenager, a young teenager. I told Jesus, Jesus, I would serve you all the days of my life. They didn't need to pursue me before I come to church. You are in church for 2-3 years. They are still following you up. We did not see you in church today. Where were you? You are not growing up. That we may serve him all the days. All of us were saved to serve. Ephesians 5 verse 30. Ephesians 5 verse 30. We are all saved. Being members of his body are saved to serve. Ephesians 5 30. What does it say?
For we are members of his body.
We are members of his body.
Of his flesh.
Of his flesh.
And of his bones.
So the Bible says that we are members of Christ's body. If you look at your body now, every member of your body has a part it's playing. Even the one that you think is not important. By the time we cut it off now, you will know that it was very important. This is your pinky, Abby. Is this one called pinky?
Yes, sir.
Finger. You see, it's not there. It's just wasting time. When they cut it now, God forbid, you will see that you cannot grip as well as you could before. Every member of the body of Christ has a part to play. If you look at Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4 verse 16. Give me NLT. Ephesians 4 verse 16. It says each party, each member supplies. Ephesians 4 verse 16, NLT. What does it say? Ephesians 4:16.
He makes the whole body fit together perfectly.
He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, yes.
As each part does its own special
each
work.
Each part does its own special work, yes.
It helps the other parts grow.
All the other parts are growing.
So that the whole body is healthy.
The whole body becomes healthy.
And growing.
And growing.
And full of love.
And full as each part supplies its own part. Each part, every single person, a member of the body of Christ, as you are here today, you must have a part you are playing in the house of God. It's okay if you just joined this church today, joined this church last month, but you can't be continued without having a part you are playing in the kingdom of God. The Bible says each part supplying. Give me King, what does King James say? Same verse, verse 16. I like King James. What does it say? 16.
From whom the whole body fitly joined together.
Fitly joined together, yes.
And compacted by that which every joint supplies.
Every joint supply. Every joint, every body, every part supply. Tell them, say, neighbor, what are you supplying? You know, just answer that question in your mind. What? Every part, every body. God does not design that a member of the body will be only consuming and not producing. In 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, it says, he that does not walk, let him not eat. Anyone that does not walk should not consume. So everybody, you know, even in our house as we grew up, everybody had a job. This one, your job is to water the plants. That one, your job is to clean this place. Even though you are last born, go and wash plates. You may stamp your feet on the ground. You may grumble. You may watch it with sorrow. It no concern us. Wash the plate. If you don't wash it well, go and wash it. You go and wash it 20 times.
Everybody, you grew up with responsibility in your mind in the house. Same with the house of God today. The house of God is not a place to just come and consume and not produce. God doesn't want to hide. Give me Matthew 20. Matthew 20. We're going to, you know, expatiate on this month as we go from Tuesdays and Sundays through it. What does it say? Matthew 20, 1 to 7. Okay, help me quickly.
For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard.
Yes.
And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard.
Yes.
And when he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard.
So as he saw them idle, not doing anything, he said, go ye into the vineyard. Yes. What is the next?
And whatsoever is right, I will give you.
Yes.
And they went their way.
Yes.
Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all day?
Why stand ye idle? God is asking someone this morning, why sit in SLC idle? Why stand ye idle? In a church like this, there's a drama team who came to serve. There's a choir who's serving. Somebody did that. Somebody. Why you standing idle? There's someone in the transport system. You know, there was a drama that happened in our transport system some time ago. There were complaints about the efficiency of the transport system, and some people were, you know, stressed. And you know, there's no perfect system anywhere in the world except we get to heaven. So when there were a lot of complaints, so the complaints came to my table, Pastor, yeah, people are complaining, people are doing this, people are doing that, people are saying this thing. And I know that, you know, the transport team, sometimes as early as 3 a.m. in the morning, are already outside looking for bus. Sometimes it is that morning that they are supposed to get a bus, that the person whose bus they got yesterday will say that the bus is no longer available this morning, and they have to look for an alternative. So I know the kind of intensity of the work they put into this. So when people started complaining, and I told Jade in the office, I said, Jade, you know, just get me a Google link, like a questionnaire for people to ask questions, people that have challenges with the transport system. Just, you know, put out the challenge. And what do you think, you know, is the problem we're facing? I said, but beware that you must be willing to join the team to serve so that this transport system can work. Nobody feed the phone. Nobody feed the phone. So people are comfortable with complaining about how things are not properly done, but are not ready to be a part of it being done. Each joint supply. What are the benefits of serving God? I'm going to just remember. One, Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Help me do more. Malachi 3, verse 17. What are the benefits of serving God? I'm just going to run this as a summary. Like I said, I'm going to expand this throughout the month. Number one is to secure the future. Malachi 3, 17 and 18. What does it say?
And they shall be mine.
They shall be mine.
Saith the Lord of
hosts. Saith the Lord of hosts.
In that day.
Yes.
When I make up my jewels.
Yes.
And I will spare them.
I will spare them. My jewels. I will spare them in the midst of crisis. In the midst of calamity. When people are dying. I will spare my jewels. What does it say next?
As a man spares his own son.
As a man spares his son.
That serves him.
A son that serves him. The son that serves him. I'm going to spare them because they are children that serve me. What does it say next? Help me next verse.
Then shall ye return.
Then you will return.
And discern.
And discern.
Between the righteous.
Between the righteous.
And the wicked.
And the wicked.
Between him that serveth
between
God.
Between him that serveth God.
And him that serveth
God
him not.
God will give you evidence of his service in the name of Jesus. You didn't say a big amen. Amen. You know, people might be raising their nose at you now. Saying every day church. He says, you will return and I will put a difference between those that serve me and those that don't. There will be a difference. There will be academic excellence can be a difference in your life. Health can be a difference. So it secures the future. Serving God secures the future. Number two, God secures your health and vitality. Serving God secures your health and vitality. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 2. John 15, verse 1 to 2. Help me. John 15, 1 to 2.
I am the true vine.
I'm the true vine.
And my Father is the husbandman.
My Father is the vine dresser. Yes.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. Yes.
And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it.
Every branch that is bearing fruit, he purges it.
That it may bring forth more fruit.
That it may bring forth. Verse 2. What does verse 2 say? Is that verse 2?
Yes, sir.
He says he purges it. Every branch that is serving, it makes healthy because the laborers are few. Because the laborers are few, the few laborers must be fit. Yeah. He will keep them fit and healthy that they may bear more fruit. As they say, Exodus says that I will take sickness. He said, for you serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread. He will bless your water. And I will take sickness from the midst of thee. I know a woman who had yellow fever. Her eyes yellow. Serving in children's church. Yellow eyes. Serving like that. Yellow. Her eyes cleared in the place of service. Look at my own case of my baby. I was in the place of service when the Lord was working it out. I will cause them to enjoy health. If you are every day sick today, sick tomorrow, find a service point and supply your part. You have a covenant. I said in my former church, just this when I was in the choir, I said, I serve God in so and so, that the name of the choir. He said, I cannot be sick. I serve God. I cannot be sick. I serve God. I cannot be sick. So serving God will secure your health and your vitality. Number three, it secures peace and rest. Even in the midst of a storm, it secures peace. When you serve God, you are peaceful. You are peaceful. There's no depression. There's no turbulence. Open to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I'm going to read verse 12, verse 15, and verse 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12, verse 15, and verse 19. What does it say?
And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord
they
God.
Entered into, someone say covenant.
Covenant.
Entered, like I entered the covenant with God. I said, God, I'm going to serve you till I die. You know, my father was an herbalist. My father was an herbalist, and those demons were looking for me. Because my father already submitted my name to them. That I'm the one that must take over from him. And they approved it. They look at me and say, yes, this is the chosen one. Now, my father died 3 months after I gave my life to Christ. So when it was time to ordain me the new priest, they were 3 months late. I had gotten a new master. And those demons vowed, we must get this guy. And I showed them Shege. We had to finally sell the demon. They had to sell the idol. They sell the idol. Off. Tell you. I destroyed the place. I threatened them. I said, if they burn you well, show up. Anyone that had any condition that had to do with that idol, show up. Even in the streets, there was a particular man who was these night guards, people that watch the streets, vigilante guys. You know, they're always full of charms and all those kind of things. So there was one of them that I knew that used to, you know, watch our streets, and I used to just talk with him. Sometimes when I'm going out, he didn't know I was going to come to his house that day. I just busted into his house. He showed me his house before, but I've never been there. So I just entered his house. And I saw he had captured a girl there. They were idols and all kinds of, you know, blood, feathers, and all those things. As I busted out like this, I saw that he had captured that girl. You know, you could see that the girl was not comfortable, but the girl was afraid because of all those things that was there. I just went straight and sat on the seat of the priest. The woman shouted, ah! How old was I? Maybe 17. The lady said, if you are not even afraid for your life, why not afraid for your mother? I said, is it because of all these things? I said, if I stand up now, I'm going to kick all of them off. The man was begging me, please, please. I said, you say anything down now, just threaten me now. What, I'm not going to scatter this place now. Let that girl go free. I'm telling you. Stood up. The girl said, you should be having a headache by now. I said, me headache. So I had to vow to serve God. Any step I take away from God. Where I am seated, they are doing like this. But they are helpless. They can't do anything. I am seated with Christ. I'm seated in Christ with God in heavenly places. So I vow to serve God. It secures peace. Peace. Peace like a river. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of storm, you have peace. I'm going to elaborate that more as we go into the month. How do I serve? Number one, I serve willingly. Wait, not in that scripture. 1 Corinthians 12.
Read it.
And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul.
Yes.
15. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their desire. With their whole desire, and it was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about.
The Lord gave them rest as they swore to serve him. The Lord gave them rest round about, in family, in their finances, in their health, in their children. Rest. All right, verse 19.
And there was no more war.
Verse 19. No more war. No more war. All right. How do I serve? Number one, I serve willingly. I serve willingly. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 17 says, if I do this thing willingly, there's a reward. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 17. If I do this thing willingly, there's a reward. So I serve God. I don't serve God as a burden. Don't serve God as if they are forcing you. Say, if somebody did not come now, before you know it now, the pastor will say that a priest should be calling somebody. Let somebody just do it. Say, you, did you see what they just said, posted on the general page? You say, yes. Who can do all that? This is so difficult. Just stressing someone. Maybe when they kill us, maybe by the time they kill us, they will be happy. Don't serve God. Serve him with joy. Serve him willingly, I beg your pardon. Exodus 35, verse 4 to 5. Moses, he says, come. Exodus 35, give it to me. Exodus 35, verse 4 to 5. Exodus 35, 4 to 5. What does it say? Exodus 35, 4 to 5.
And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and goat hair, and ram skin, dyed red, and badger skin, and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil.
What verse is that?
This is 6.
Yeah. It says, bring it willingly. Look at 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. It says, if there be first a willing mind. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. There is first a willing mind. There must be a willing mind to serve God willingly. In this month, as we begin, serve God willingly. Number two, serve God cheerfully. Because I'm going to elaborate this, you know, throughout the month. Serve God cheerfully. Enjoy it. Do it delightedly. Have you seen the parking, our parking lot guys? Have you seen them? They are very happy serving. How many of you have come with your car and you're very happy to give them your keys to go and help you park? Abi? Amazing guys out there. Serve God delightedly. Don't serve God and frown your face. Serve God with joy in your heart. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 7, it says, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. God wants to be self-motivated, ever delighted, obeying God with excitement, happy doing it. Happy as you are cleaning the chair, as you are cleaning the place, happy as you are singing in the choir, happy as you are spreading the good news, happy, you are happy doing it. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Number three, let your service be love motivated. I'm going to end there because of my time. Let your service be love motivated. Please write that down. Don't serve God to be seen of men. Don't serve God to impress the pastor. That would be high service. Don't serve God to impress anyone. Serve God because you love him. In the book of John chapter 21 verse 15, Jesus Christ was asking Peter. He said, so when they are dying, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, feed my lambs. So you serve God because you love him. Serve God because you are excited and joyful about it. This month, we're going to go to the streets spreading Jesus. We're targeting 1,000 souls won this month. Somebody shout hallelujah. We are going to the streets. All the tribes are engaged. All the tribes on the streets. Jesus everywhere. Hashtag Jesus everywhere. Some of us have never won a soul this year. This is your opportunity. Some of us have never won a soul in our life. This month, we'll pair ourselves, group ourselves. We are taking the gospel out
in the marketplace. One Saturday like that, we'll carry speaker to one market and do open air crusade for them there. Somebody say amen. Say, I'll be part of it. Lift up your hands. That is the greatest business of God. The business of soul winning. So the crux of kingdom stewardship, the crux of kingdom service is to see more and more people come to Jesus. We are going to use your social media for it. There are some of us that if you post Jesus thing on your page like this, your friends will be shocked because they don't even know that you are Christian. You will quickly use this opportunity to let them know, I've been Christian. I've been Christian a long time. I just didn't post it. This is the good opportunity to do that. Jesus everywhere. We are going to share it on the streets, share it in our offices. We're going to have tracts by Tuesday. These tracts should be ready. We're going to share tracts, tribe-based. Everybody must be part of it. You will tell Jesus, Jesus, give me one soul this month. If me, I can just have one soul, that this is one person I have brought to you this month, it's going to be a great one. Our target is 1,000, and we'll start daily count from today, October 1. Daily count. As the numbers are increasing, we'll be increasing it. If you get somebody saved, you send the number. We're going to give you the number that you can send it to. We're going to send that at all the tribe level, the number. As you get somebody saved, you send their number. This person's already saved. This person already saved. We'll start counting like that from today till the last day of October. Every day the number will be increasing. Every day, everyone on the streets, everyone about the job, serving God cheerfully. It's a soul winning month. Somebody shout amen. Now, I know that some of us have never won a soul before, but like I said, this is a good opportunity to try. We're going to use, you know, there was one thing Yemi was doing one time, paying transport for people where sermons were played on the bus for them as they travel to their offices. All the creative style we can use, we are going to use it. We are going to do it starting, in fact, the Nehemiah, what's that team again? Team Barnabas had sent that if you want to join the follow-up team, you have this. Now you don't have team. You don't have anything you are doing in the house of God. This one you can do now. You want to help them calling people that give their life to Christ. Say, Pastor, me that I, if you know who I am, I'm the last person to call. So at the small safe, the person is safe. I will not even collect it. Get involved like that. You get better on the job. Are you following my point? Everyone is involved. The same way you were excited about relationship month, jumping up and down, relationship, I love love. Now, this is the great, the Bible says, no greatest love than this, than for a man to lay his life down. No greater love than this. I love love. I love love. Now, love is sacrifice. He says, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes. He said, teach. Feed my lamb. That's the greatest expression of his love. Go after the sheep of Jesus. That guy in your apartment, that you see him living his life anyhow, this is the time to walk up. He's not feeding you. Why are you ashamed? Is he feeding you? He's not feeding you. Some people in your class or in your school or in your hostel or in your house, they are not the ones feeding you. You are the one that want to save them. And they will go to hell if you don't talk to them. So, no love greater than this, than for a man to lay his life down. So, 1,000 souls, that's our target. Everybody, sorry, but say neighbor, I'm not feeling the excitement in the house. Say, but say neighbor. Hold your neighbor's hands. Say, neighbor, we are in this together. 1,000 souls for Jesus. Now give the Lord a big shout. Yes. 1,000 people coming to the knowledge of Christ. You are going to stand one day like this and you look behind you and you'd have brought 10 people to church. You'd have brought 15 people to Jesus. Everybody is involved. Everybody is involved. That your gatesman is involved. I went to give, you know, when I was doing the work for Four Square Church, I went and I gave them. I was actively serving in a law firm then, and I was going to give them an agreement that I had prepared, and the pastor was not around, so they say I should sit at the gatesman's house while I waited for the pastor.
So I said, ah, Oga, you where they watch Jesus' house. Oh, say Jesus Christ know you. He said, wait, because I'm me, I just did the work now. I said, ah, you the work for Jesus, I know you. That's dangerous. You have to know Jesus. And I began to open the scriptures up to him. And that gate man gave his life to Christ that day. A man that is watching after the house of God, but does not know God. There are many people all over like that who we will make it a drive this month. So while we think about kingdom service, kingdom stewardship, we are teaching, we are inculcating the culture. You see, soul winning is a long lost art in Christianity. And it is very sad. When we first gave our life to Christ, that was all that we know. You have given your life to Christ, you must bring somebody else. It's like MMM. It's like network marketing. You bring two people, that two people, bring two people, that people. That's how we do it. You give your life to Christ, next, you are already thinking of who you are going to bring. So in your class, you're already targeting people like this. This person, this person, this person. Say, please, can I see you? Please, can I see you? Please, can I see you? Say, please, do you know Jesus? And we share Jesus. You may be ashamed now because you are not living right. Because the person you want to preach to now, you have gone to toast that person. So now you go back and say, please, that was there. I'm changed now. Jesus has set me free. I want to invite you to Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you come on, I. The past is gone. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Say, how would they look at me? Me, I've already known me in that place. Go back and tell them that you have changed. How do you think Paul faced those children? Children whose parents are locked in prison. Women whose husbands is stoned to death. How did he face them and said, receive Jesus? They said, the same Jesus for which you imprisoned our parents, he had to put his past behind him. Hold your neighbor again, hold your neighbor's hands. Hold it very firmly. Don't break the handle. Just say, my neighbor, we are in this together. 1,000 souls for Jesus. Say again, say 1,000 souls. So do you want to break their hand? Say it again, say 1,000 souls for Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So God will grace us this month. From today, our numbers start counting. We're going to send the numbers to all the groups. If you don't belong to a church group, then that means you're not in a tribe or you are missing out somewhere. That's not good. Ensure that you are in a particular group, WhatsApp group today. Whether it's your tribe, whether it's a connect group, whether it's your general group or whatever, whether it's your transport route, all the numbers will be spread. As you talk to people, accept Jesus. And the person says, yes, pray for me. You finish praying, you collect the person's number, you submit it. That's what we're going to do for the whole of the month. And every day, we see, the Bible says, and the Lord added to them daily. Daily. The church increased daily. They don't even have to attend SLC. That's not the point. Are you following my point? So far, they are a member of the body of Christ. So some people are already in church before. They are not in Christ, but they are in church. So yours is to get them into Christ. They don't leave their church and come attend this church. No. It's to get everyone saved. We are going to the markets. We are going to the villages. We are going everywhere. Every corner. Every corner. You don't even have to talk too much. You are sitting beside somebody in their long, drop a track to the person. Engage the person. If it is football now, we can talk. No, you can even start. You just say, this dollar safe. And where to start? Somebody else picks it up. So just look for a way. God will give you wisdom in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, this month, I receive fruits. Bow down and begin to give him thanks. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We commit this month into your hands. Father, we have made a commitment to bring 1,000 people to you this month. We cannot do it by our power. We cannot do it by our strength. But we trust you, Lord, to help us, each one of us, bringing in one more person, bringing in another person, every single person, bringing in one more person. Lord, we ask that you grant us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, I prayed. And God said a big amen. Now, jam those hands together for Jesus and celebrate it. Come on. You can do better. Come on, celebrate it. Amen. So by the end of this month, we'll be committing all the souls to God's hands and believing God. Throughout this month, we'll be teaching on how to minister, what to say, how to say what to say, you know, to connect to people at different levels. The Lord grant
you. Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life.
For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.